Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
I was down here in the front. The Lord prompted me to share a story with you. I recently came back from a trip I took my son on. We went to Northern California to this ranch where it's all about getting in the presence of God. And we can sum up our Christian walk in two words, which is be led, being led by the Spirit. And when I was out there, the Lord showed me something that not only I need, but the church right now needs. And in the fruit of the Spirit, it's listed love, joy. And when I got to joy, the Lord stopped me and said, you need more joy. More joy. And it blew me away. I'm like, Lord, you know I'm a happy person. I'm always willing to have fun. But he goes, you're missing the point. That's not the joy I'm talking about. And as Christians, it's easy to make it all about the emotion. But joy is the deep-seated confidence in knowing that Jesus Christ is in control of our circumstances. He is totally in control. So it doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you think is wrong. We think we know. We like to think we know. But you know what? The Lord is in control of your circumstances. He is in control. No matter how chaotic everything gets around us. You might feel hopeless or discouraged today because of where you are, whatever the situation is you're dealing with, but I'm here to tell you that the joy of the Lord is here in the house. The reason why Jesus came is he said, so that your joy may be full. The fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is what carries us all the way to the end. The joy of the Lord shall be our strength. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14 tells us. I'm saying all this to encourage you. I'm building you up. I can feel your faith rising. And that's what it's for. The Word of God is inspired. It's God-breathed. It's for teaching and correcting, rebuking, but it's also for encouraging you. The Bible says, one of my favorite things was David said, and even his worst moment is that he had to encourage himself in the Lord. You might be in that place today, hopeless, discouraged, and you need the Lord right now. Join our faith with you and agree so that your joy may be full and that you can start looking beyond the circumstance, beyond where you are right now. Because believe me, there is a purpose, there is a plan that God has for you. The Lord is here today. The joy of the Lord shall be our strength. Let us agree with you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your joy is in the house. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your presence in this house, Lord. We've been praying all morning for you to show up, Lord. We want your presence more than anything else. We know that you are our answer to everything in life, that no matter what, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We reach inside and draw on the inside the wells of living water. We thank you, Lord, for the joy, Thank you, Lord. We need more joy in our life. Praise you, Jesus. May your joy come down in this building right now. Your presence. Thank you, Lord. I know I need more joy. Bring the joy in, Lord. I could use more of it. More joy. More joy. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Keep worshiping. Keep worshiping.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a huge hand, guys. Give the Lord. Come on. The Creator is in the house. The Creator is in the house. Woo! I said the Creator is in the house. What would you do if he walked right down that aisle? What would you do if he walked right down that aisle? I'm telling you, you know the woman? Keep on playing, guys. Just keep on playing. We ain't done yet. We're here to worship God. We're here in a place of worship. Jesus said this is a house of prayer. He said it's a house of prayer. Put your cell phones away. Unless you're getting ready to look up some scripture, that's great. Keep your cell phones out. All attention to the Creator just for, how about the rest of your life? I was going to say just for a moment. That's the problem is we give him a moment. We have a Creator. Everybody stand if you're able to. Stand up if you are able to. I don't want you to just stand for the sake of sitting and standing. We are in the King's presence. You get that? We are in the King's presence. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Honestly, every one of us would have stood to attention with a round of applause had the President of the United States, no matter who he is, walks down that aisle. I don't care who he is. And I want to tell you, if it was Ronald Reagan, first of all, I'd be going, he's raised. He's risen. But if you think of your hero, president, whoever that hero is, because I give license to be whatever you are, I don't really care. I honestly don't care what you are in your politics. I want to see, I have a king. You get that? I have a king. I don't worry about the president. The president doesn't know my name. My king wrote my name personally in his book of life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't care what you are politically. But that favorite, whoever that is, if it's Bono. Who? Listen, whoever your hero is. If he walked down that aisle. Oh my goodness. Seriously. Seriously. Whoever, when Jesus walks in the room, you say, well, how do you know he's in the room? Because you walked in the room. He is in you. The Spirit of the living God that spoke into existence. All of creation spoke life into you. The King is in the room. That's why I ask you to stand, if you can. If you can, I ask, just the King is in the room. The King is in the room. I want us to really, I don't know if we'll ever get, I don't know that I'll ever get it. The King is in the house. Now, if we could really somehow begin to even start that journey of wrapping it around our head, then we'll get something here, because I want to address something. Our city needs a miracle. Our city needs a miracle. Our city, now listen to me, our city, the miracle that our city needs is peace. And I'm not talking about putting the guns away, putting the rocks away, or putting the canisters away. I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Capital P, not small P. I'm talking about our city needs Jesus. Seriously, if Jesus walks into the middle of those riots, he's the one that can say, peace, be still. When Jesus got in that boat with the disciples and the winds and the waves were blowing around and they're looking at each other like, what is he doing? How can he sleep? Peace was in the boat. I'm talking about the presence of peace, not just the silence of no gunshots and words. Do you know what? Honest before God, we Christians, we have bought into the world's method of display. Jesus said, listen, I just spoke on this not long ago. Get this. We're so quick. I went to Cracker Barrel the other day. I had a server walk up and I was sitting there with Pastor Harvey and this server walks up and declares this stand. Can I honestly tell you, I don't know anything about these cases. What I know is that God knows all and He is a just God and He will do the right thing. In the end, all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus and are called according to His purpose. And when we get into discussions, about, well, whether he should have been or he shouldn't have been or this or that, we lose our license to breathe peace into the moment. You and I are the peace bringers. We're the peace, let me tell you, we are the Barnabases. His name means peace, you know, the peacemaker. We lose the license to bring the peace to the moment. We really do when we get into discussions about things we don't know. We don't know. And when I actually said to the person the other day, I just don't know what I don't know. They were frustrated at me because I wasn't agreeing with them. By the way, that's both sides. And the enemy's doing exactly what he wants. He's dragging the church into it. He's just as though it's our fight. No, no, no. Jesus is our issue. Peace is our issue. Not Jesus stands there and a Roman guard comes up. Peter comes up and to the guard and he slices the ear off the Roman guard. And Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. Get the moment. He refuses violence. And he picks up the ear and he puts it back on the Roman guard. I guarantee you the man's hearing was perfect. You see, the king is in the house, guys. The king is in the house. Don't tell me later, man, you sure had us stand a long time. I want to tell you something. If he really walked down that room where you could physically see him, you wouldn't even be able to see him because you all fall out like I would. I mean, I'd last about a split second and I'm gone. It'd be the fastest. Don't throw a blanket on me either. I don't do that stuff. This is about Jesus, not show. This is about Christ. This is about transformation of the spirit where when the world has a method, Jesus said to Peter, don't buy into their method. You're not my defender. Carry my message. This guard needs salvation. That's the message. Give the guard. Oh, get the moment here. Church, let's not buy into the world's methods of arguing, taking stands. Well, it's time the church is no longer silent. Well, be loud about Jesus then. I'm not saying be silent. I'm saying voice truth, capital T. Find peace, capital P, and voice that. Oh, no, no. You don't have to be disrupted. Oh, I've got stands. Go take the stands. That's great. Duck a lot. But here's the thing. When you get done and all worn out, Jesus is still the issue. Jesus is the issue. And you'll come right back to you. You'll be worn out. And you'll be standing there right where he always was. Right where he always was. Father, I'm asking for peace for our city. I ask for peace in the church. The church in America we've bought into the world's ways of resolving conflict. That's become our goal. Resolving conflict. Instead of resolving that in my house, it's for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's not about resolving conflict, it's about bringing Jesus into the room. Because I want to tell you, arch enemies in Northern Ireland, Roman Catholics and Protestants are coming together and they're worshiping together because Jesus was the issue. The other's not trying to get the other to be Catholic and Protestants aren't trying to get the Catholics to be Protestant. They're just walking into a room and they're coming in. They're starting to fill auditoriums with Catholics and Protestants and they're beginning to say, I denounce the idea you can label me as Catholic or Protestant. I leave that at the door and I'm going in and I will self-proclaim who I am. I am a follower of the living Christ. That is the issue. Jesus brings peace. Lord, bring peace in the name of Jesus. I ask you in the name of Jesus, bring peace to the church. Let us be peacemakers, not stirring it up and buying into the world's method of arguing our case and our cause and being offended on someone's behalf, but rather, Lord God, to rise above it, no matter what color we are, no matter what ethnicity we are, no matter what faith background we have, no matter what political party we assemble with, setting all of that aside and saying, I am number one and first and foremost a follower of Jesus Christ. That you can label me. In Jesus' name, give the Creator a huge hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Are you ready to get into the Word? Y'all remember Tony and Nevenka, don't you, when they attended here? Panamanian couple that attended here. I ended up flying to Panama, Gene and I did, to marry them. They were students at Lindenwood University. And it was there, as they were telling their parents, they were both raised Roman Catholic. We bless Roman Catholics. We just bless Christ followers. Period. We just bless, if you're a follower of Christ, live it out well in whatever church you've been raised in, and if you tolerate us, we love you too, and, you know, we love it. But Tony and Nevenka, when they went back, they said, they called back from Panama, and many of you know we've made a home in Panama now. We have a permanent presence practically down in Panama. So they called me back, they said, our parents are really frustrated. We tried to explain to them that you're not Protestant. Because I've told them, I'm not Protestant, I'm not Catholic, I'm a follower of Christ, I refuse to be labeled. I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, I'm a Christian. This is my guide. This is my guide. Pastor Mike Bowie brought it out in Scripture this morning. It's my guide. So I don't sign on to the Republican or the Democrat or the Socialist or whatever party mine is Jesus. I'm signed in by the blood in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where my membership's at. So Tony would call back and say, dude, my parents are really frustrated. They say you have to be Protestant if you're not Catholic. I said, if you need me to be Catholic, I'll be Catholic. Seriously, I don't care what you call me, but I'm a follower of Christ. No. They seriously want to know why you don't claim to be Protestant. I said, because I refuse to be labeled. I am a Christ follower. He is my God. That's all there is to it. Man puts labels, and the only label I care about is this. The one that God puts on me called sealed. Sealed. Sealed by the blood. That's the label. Stamp it. Put the little embossment on it. That's the only label I care about. And so Tony's like, her parents are confused too. I said, I'll come down there. So we did. We went down there. And by the time we got done, they didn't want to be anything anymore. I was like, isn't Jesus great? Isn't he freeing? You know, isn't he freeing? It's a great thing when I got free from man's labels and having to fit. Well, you're not a real conservative here if you're compassionate towards this group or that. I don't care. I'm not trying to be conservative or liberal. I'm trying to follow Jesus. And Jesus always, wherever he went, this is what he said. Wow, wouldn't this be cool? Wherever Jesus went, he said, the word says he went around doing good for everyone. I want to be known. Don't you want to be known for the one who went about doing good? Oh, he made enemies. It was the religious. He saved his harshest words for the religious. You've heard me say that. He called the religious hierarchy of the day, you, quote, brood of vipers. Now, that's an English quote. I can't do Aramaic or Hebrew. So that's an English quote. You brood of vipers. He was known as being a friend of sinners. He hung with accountants. No, he hung with tax collectors. Not just accountants. He hung with my wife's an accountant, by the way, so it's okay. Don't get too wrinkled there. But he hung with those people. He has a woman washing his feet that's a known prostitute. How do we know that? The Bible says if he only knew who she was and what she was like, what she did, he wouldn't let her do that. They're thinking that, by the way. They're thinking that. And he looks and he says, Simon, I have something to tell you. I have a question to ask you, is what he says. He's reading his mind. He knows exactly what's going on. The Spirit of the living God is revealing things to Christ. In his humanness, in his humanity, he still was in touch with his Father. By the way, you can be too. Seriously, when all the voices are on Facebook going, don't you think this guy, and don't you think they ought to, and if they only knew. All those voices are screaming distracting things. You don't have to be on board with anybody other than Christ. And boy, you know, at that point, that's the life transformation that takes place in your life. All of a sudden, I'll tell you what happens. You no longer are a Republican or Democrat. You're no longer a conservative or a liberal. You don't have to be any of those things. Actually, what happens is you get an eternal value system. It's called eternal value system. It's the Christ eternal value system. And when those things happen, all of a sudden, your conversation is different. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. Let's talk. I want to talk to you this morning about dealing with some of our greatest failures in life. Do you remember Pastor Mike last week? He was talking about becoming a servant. And remember, he brought out the story. I don't want to get into it too much in the book of John. The story of where Peter betrayed Christ three times. You remember Peter went to Christ and he said, I will lay my life down for you. I will go to death for you. By the way, he did later, and he was hung upside down later on a cross because he felt he wasn't worthy of the same level of honor that his master had died in. So he was unworthy of that. Having said that, Peter denied Christ. Wouldn't you say, it could be said at some level, Christ's greatest failures as far as human followers were very prominent people. One was named Peter because he denied him Jesus looked right at John or Peter when he said, I'll go to death for you. He said, no, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. I know how this thing's going to play out. You know, I know. And you're going to deny me three times. I will never deny you. He denied him three times before the cock crow. You know the story. Okay. And then the other great failure as far as a follower. Well, everybody lists, you know, well, he's got one in 12, a bad one. Well, he actually had two stinkers. Because if you remember, Peter cut the dude's ear off, you know, the Roman guard. He's all mouth, a little bit of sword, you know. It might have been, thank God, a bad aim. He might have been aiming for his head. I don't think he was that proficient. He wasn't trained in that type of military. So he might have been going for the head. By God's grace, he hit an ear. Now the guard doesn't think it's by God's grace, but it depends on whose perspective you're talking about. So anyway, he gets these two guys, perhaps the two greatest failures. And I really felt the Spirit of God prompt me to kind of start this message last week at the end of the service. And so it's kind of a part two follow up with those two. I want to look at those two. Now, Pastor Mike was talking about being the servant, and that was what the message was about there. But I want to dovetail this into those two men that he spoke of in that story, Peter and Judas, the two perhaps greatest human follower failures in Jesus's 3-year ministry on the earth. There might have been even worse since then. I honestly don't know. I'm on the list, so probably, and I'm not joking with you, I have failures. That's just all there is to it. We all sin and come short of God's glory. Nobody deserves to be on the platform. Nobody deserves to be in a place of leadership, but God raises them up, and he keeps raising them up, and he keeps restoring people. I can't wait to talk to you about this message today. So here's the thing. These two great failures. Let's look at how they both responded. Number one, Peter in John 21, Peter, after the resurrection of Christ, Christ comes back and he has dinner with him. He's just sitting there eating. Have you ever noticed people want to reserve conflict by getting in a meeting and, you know, meeting and hash this thing out? We're going to hash this. Instead of just taking them to a meal and saying, you know, with your mouth full, you can't say too much. And maybe it's my own mouth I need to fill. So here's Jesus in John 21. Jesus restores Peter. I'll go through it real quickly. He restores him. He says, Peter, you remember the question? Peter, do you love me? And by the way, Jesus asked him that three times. The first two were phileo love, Greek word for phileo love, friendship. Do you really love me? And see, that's what Peter felt. He had betrayed him as a friend. And so he was giving him the opportunity to restore. I do. Because Peter didn't want to bring it up. Probably, I don't think you want to bring up your most uncomfortable failure, do you? I don't like that. And so he said, Peter, it goes right to it. Do you love me? I'll let you say it to me because I know you're embarrassed here. Do you love me? Are you my friend, Peter? Peter says, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. Yes. Waits a few minutes. He does it again. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Can you imagine the shame that his head was down? That's why David writes, he's the lifter of my head. He's not screaming at you, raise your head up and look at me in the eyes. We did that as parents, didn't we? No, he's not that kind of daddy. He's the kind of daddy that says, no, 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 sweetie. No, sweetie. Look up at me. Look up at me. Look at me. No shame. No shame in this house. No shame in this house. Look at me. Okay. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. He gave him responsibility. He accepted the answer. He didn't say, no, why did you deny me? No. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Second time. You're my friend. Lord, I can imagine the tears. Can you? Put yourself in the moment. I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Third time he asked him, it was not phileo love anymore. It wasn't the sexual reference either. It was, Peter, do you agape me? Do you agape me? In other words, it's God's love. It's unconditional. This is a spiritual, high above men's possibility of love. Do you love me with all of your being? Peter, do you agape me? Lord, I do. Then feed my sheep. He accepted restoration as a friend. And the third was he accepted restoration in the spiritual sense. Then be restored. Be restored. Then the second great failure, Judas. Judas was so angry with himself, he runs out, he tries to give the money back, the 30 pieces of silver, he tries to throw it back, he's dealing in shame. Same shame Peter had, by the way. Remember the story? Same shame. So he runs, he tries to restore himself by giving the money back. He's trying to take actions on his own to give the money back. He can't get the thing resolved within himself, you see, because he didn't trust the only one that could restore him. And he went out and he took his life. I don't do judging eternally. I don't know where Judas is at. I got no clue. But can you imagine the restoration that would have taken place? The opportunity, if Judas had given Jesus the opportunity to restore him, can you imagine the story all of us were cheated from? Because Judas, The guy that was known until Benedict Arnold as the greatest traitor in world history, and Benedict Arnold is just in American history, but that was the name everyone linked betrayal to, you Judas. And here he cheated everyone, including himself, out of the opportunity of restoration because shame hides us. Shame encamps around us. And there is one who wants to set you free from your past decisions, right or wrong. He wants to set you free, not just from the past, but to a great future. That's what he is about. He is the future maker. He is creating your future today. He said, I'll go before you and I will make your future, your paths, straight. I'll clear out the junk. I want to just read just a couple things to you from the book of Proverbs, what to do with your past. If you're dealing with bad decisions, I just have a little bit of time, but I want to give this to you quickly. And I have a video I want you to listen to or to watch here in just a few minutes. Listen to this. It's from Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to jump right down into I'll go with verse 1. I'm going to start there. It's just the first 8 verses. It says, my son, this is Solomon, the wisest man other than Christ himself, the wisest man known for his wisdom. And when he was asked, Solomon, what would you like to have? Anything. You can ask anything from God. What did he ask for? More wisdom. That's how wise the man was. More wisdom. He said, my son, do not forget my teaching. Can I tell you what the first line? Listen, don't forget what you've learned. If you have failed, don't forget the lessons you've learned and the failures. John Maxwell wrote a book and he made the Falling Forward is the name of the book. He said, listen, if you fall down while you're down there, pick something up. Isn't that beautiful? Can I tell you why I know so much about that? Because I have fallen down a lot. I have had a lot of conflict in my life. I tried to resolve conflict my way. I tried to resolve my past my way. I did what Judas did. You've done what Judas did. We have all done what Peter did. We've denied Christ in some level of our lives, our behavior, our words, our verbiage, embarrassed to pray in public. Come on. I mean, I'm not saying you have to pray every time you eat a meal. I didn't say that. That's if you got that in your head, every meal I eat is blessed because he provided it to me. It's not a legalistic thing, but it is if you look at it like this. It's an opportunity to check in to the public witness of I'm a Christ follower. And you don't have to pray the Holy Spirit down, by the way. Food's getting cold. Just you don't actually have to, you know, have a camp meeting there in the restaurant. I've been like that. I just start eating when somebody does that. My food was blessed before they said, Dear Heavenly Father, and they go into reciting the Ten Commandments before they eat. I don't need that. I'm sorry. He said, first verse, don't forget what you've learned. Learn something. Don't forget, he says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Why? Because we can. Because we can walk right out of a great failure and walk right into another one. We got master's degrees in failures. Why do I still do the same thing? I had a guy ask me one time, why do I lie so much? And here's my answer, because you actually value lying more than you value truth. It's a simple answer. Now, then you got to figure out why you value lying so much. That's deeper. I send them to Janice. I've gone in to see Janice. I go in, do you have 5 minutes? I just need to speak to somebody. But keep my commands in your heart. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Can I use the S word? Children here, stupid. Don't be stupid in your recovery of your failure. Don't be defensive. Well, you've done bad things too. I don't know why everybody judges me. You know what? Then that's still not owning it. At that point, in my greatest failure, I need to just own it. Are you catching that? When somebody's pointing a finger at you and you know it ought to be pointed at you, best way to go is point your own finger at you and say, I am guilty. I own it. Now don't get goofy from there on and defensive from there on. It's keep my commands in your heart. You know, if God's word is in our heart, it protects us. It gives us a north, a south, an east, and a west. When a pilot is flying a plane, tell the youth, children's ministry, I need 10 extra minutes, please, till 10 minutes after. Thank you. When the pilot is flying a plane, and John F. Kennedy Jr. was not trained for instruments. He was only sight trained. He was only sight trained when he went in that aircraft. And he had flown many hours in those aircrafts. When a pilot goes up for American Airlines into those clouds, they are instrument panel experts. And no matter what those clouds are saying, and no matter if they get some level of, they're confused, whether they're flying sideways like John F. Kennedy Jr. did, or no matter what their feeling is, those instruments on that panel say where north is, where south is, where east and west is, and it also says what level you're at. If your attitude is wrong, and I did say attitude, and altitude. There's an attitude meter on there. Right, Scott? Dude builds aircrafts. Boeing was McDonnell Aircraft for many years. Yeah, you built them all. What are you talking about? Don't ruin my story. Anyway. A NASA pilot, what can I say? No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But the reality is that pilot has to trust the compass. He has to trust the instruments, and the instruction is right in front of him what he or she needs to do. If I had time, I'd tell you about the time that one of our church members was in a plane with me in first class because he bought the ticket for me for first class. And I heard him say something along the lines. He looks up in the front of the cockpit and he says, uh-oh, a female pilot. And I just took a blanket and I pulled it over my head. And I laid against the window, and that female pilot, that lady, came out of that cockpit. Looked right at him and said, what did you just say? He said, nothing. honest before God truth. He didn't say anything after that. He goes on to say, if you keep the commands in your heart, they will prolong your life for many years and bring you prosperity. If we're living God's according to the north and the south at the compass here, if we're living to this and keeping it in our heart, we'll make moral decisions that are pleasing to God. If we won't have the physical effects, and for those of you in this room, in this size of a room, I'm going to tell you all, there's absolute probability and positive nature that some of us have made wrong moral decisions in the past and perhaps carry some scars today. In Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus' name, no shame. In Jesus' name, no shame. We don't do shame. Our master doesn't do shame. Some of the greatest followers I've ever known have those things in their history. But as long as you'll keep the north and the south and the east and the west, as long as you keep that compass where you know your attitude is right, your altitude is right, your north is right, man, it'll prolong your life. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Always be a person of compassion. Always be a person of compassion. You'll never miss with compassion. I had a little girl she's probably 25. Used to attend our morning prayer that we used to do in here once a week, every morning, Monday morning. She would attend for 2 hours. And she finally came to me, she said, Pastor Barry, can I share something with you? I said, absolutely. She said, I'm an illegal immigrant. I said, do you know Christ? She said, I do. I said, praise God, keep praying. She said, will you tell anyone? I said, praise God, keep praying. You better be here. About 2 months after that, she came to me, she said, Pastor Barry, in tears, we have to move, because my dad's pretty sure. I was born here, she said, but I was pretty sure that sooner or later they would find that my dad was here. We've got to move. I said, let me pray with you, and I began to pray with her. I don't believe you'll ever go wrong with compassion. I'm sorry, not a real good conservative, am I? I don't care. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. You keep your own opinions. I don't really mind. I honestly don't, because there's right things on that side of the bridge too. There's you could argue both ways very well. But let me tell you, you'll never go wrong with compassion. Do you know that when a judge, do you remember Gary Gilmore in 1977 sentenced Gary Gilmore to death? First execution that happened since execution was restored. The judge wept as he read the execution order. And he stopped in the middle of it, choked, and he said, You made me do this. And that judge wept as he gave, you see, compassion can even be in the middle of a just moment. You understand? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God first and man. Now, let me go through verse 5-8. Now, listen to this. This is the key to overcoming your past. If you got a past that you're not thrilled with, maybe a little ashamed of, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm giving you a word today from Rhema. I mean, it is a Rhema word. Let me tell you what it is. It's be free in the name of Jesus. No more shame. Be free in the name of Jesus. No more shame. Peter, make sure you check in with the Peter School of Restoration. Check in. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. And you will live. Run to Him and say, ask me the question if I love you, because I want to have the opportunity for restoration. You'll walk away with the diploma from the Peter School of Restoration. And you will stand and your head will not be in shame anymore. Because, you see, first, you didn't forget what you learned. And you ran to Him. Instead of, like Judas, trying to resolve the guilt yourself. And trying to undo what you don't have the ability to undo. When you've wounded someone, when you've hurt someone, when you've sinned against someone, you can't unwound them. Only Jesus can. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Listen, when you think, I got a pastor on this staff who had a pastor tell him one time, since you've been divorced, you'll never be used by the Lord at church again. I'm sorry. He's an associate pastor at this church. He followed the donuts to church one day. It's a true story. He was so broken with his new wife. He was so broken. Yeah, and we've told the story, Pastor Mike. Y'all know his story. Good pastor, by the way. Love this pastor. Godly man. Truly a godly man. Really. I love this guy. He's a sweetheart. But it was a deep conviction of his. And so Pastor Mike is at Paul's Donuts, and he's looking at this stack of 13 boxes of donuts. It says St. Charles River Church, St. Charles River Church, St. Charles River Church. And he asked Carmen, do you think that could, we've been praying that God would send us to a church. They followed the donuts. Look for Jesus in the donuts. He's there. He's when you least expect him, check him out. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Follow the donuts, even if you don't understand it. Don't lean on your own understanding. God couldn't. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. That's goofy. That's goofy. The guy's mega, trying to be mega spiritual. No, I'm not. He followed the donuts. Ask him. And now he serves as the senior associate of this church. Because the Spirit of God is not done with you because of failure. You understand that? I said the Spirit of the living God is not done with you because of failure. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. If you've been sinned against in your family, tell that person, run to Jesus, and you run with them. Because you need to run to Jesus too. He's the only one that can heal the brokenhearted. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not just when you're out in public, but when you shut the door at home. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. You know what he'll do? He'll send out favor before you. That's what he does. He sends out favor. He doesn't just clear the path. He puts roses. He blesses you. He blesses you. Lord, I don't have the money to pay that meal. I've had this happen in restaurants. Pay that family's meal. Lord, I don't have the money right now. Do you want the money? Yes. Then pay that person's money, pay that person's meal. And I'll give it back to you so many fold you can't imagine. My own brother one time told me when he started tithing, he said, man, I'm going to tell you. He had to call me. He said, because he wrote a tithe check here at St. Charles River Church. He called me that next week. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I started tithing. By the way, I didn't always tithe. No guilt, no shame. I don't do that. I don't know who gives what. I really don't. I don't know who gives what. Brian called me. He said, I got to tell you this. I had a client come in and bought 10. The profit was 10 times the amount I wrote that tithe check for this week. I said, you giving 20 next week? Anyway, do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't try and figure it out like Judas. Seriously, I'm not picking on Judas. Judas may be right at the side of Jesus today because I just happen to believe God's grace is so sufficient. I don't know where Judas is. Thank God. I'm not the judge. The judgment seat of Christ has whose name on it? Thank you. We've got two of you. It's his seat. It's not mine. It's not mine. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Stay away from it. Stay away from judgmentalism. Stay away from attitude that isn't right. Check. This is the attitude adjuster right here. This is the attitude adjuster. But they're doing... Yeah, but what are you doing? Well, I better... You see, it's about rebuking me, not you. It's about rebuking and changing me and my heart. And this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Do you know that your nerves actually calm down when you have peace? You actually get a good night's sleep when you actually have peace. I want you to do something. Stand with me. Stand, if you can. And I just want you to just keep your heads bowed for just a moment. Father, each of us have a past. Each of us have things in our past that we regret. There's not a person, if anyone in this room says, I have no regrets, Lord, they are not speaking truth. We all have regrets. We've all sinned against you. We've all sinned against others. We've hurt other people. I'm asking you, Father, just bring a spirit of peace and truth right here in the room, just for a moment. Just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Everybody just bow your heads for a moment. Nobody's looking around. And I just want you to know that the Spirit, listen to me, the Spirit is here for restoring you. And if you've not accepted that restoration and you'd like to receive it today, I just want you to raise your hand and pull it right back down. Yes, yes. Man, there's hands all over this room. And just keep, be honest with God. It's really about if I got both hands in the air, I got one foot in the air, and if I could get the other foot off the ground, it would be lifted. I'm going to tell you, I can't float though. I mean, I know I've offended people through the years. I know I've hurt. I know I've sinned against God. I've sinned against people that I love deeply. I know that. I know that. But what I want you to do is to join. This is the invitation of the Holy Spirit today. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden. Can I insert this? Because you've made wrong decisions. Or someone made wrong decisions perhaps against you even. But come unto me who are all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Many have raised their hands. Just no one's looking around. Anyone else? Quickly, raise your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Second opportunity. Jesus gave three to Peter. Okay, pull your hands down. You haven't had the nerve yet? Let me give you one more. Would you raise your hands if you have something? This is number three, just like Peter. Do you love Jesus and you're sorry for something of your past? Raise your hand. Just raise it up. No one's looking around. Okay. Do you know literally almost every person, pull it down, almost every person in this building raised their hand. Now that was what the Lord was looking for. This is not Barry speaking. This is God's word. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Don't walk back in that prison. It's not yours to walk back into. He's locking the door. So you don't have any right to go back in there. That sea called forget. He put a no fishing sign there. Don't you ever fish for what's in the sea called forget. That's what the word says. Don't you go fish in there. It's not yours anymore. If you really gave it to him and the victory belongs to Jesus, he gave it to you at the cross. Give the Lord a great hand, will you?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.